three of the questions raised in the earlier session. The first one was about what happening with the other 66% of the lottery sales. 50% of that 66% is going towards prize money. So that's the money that's being used to pay out the jackpots and whatever, 1,000 people that get 1,000 rand. So 50% is actually set aside to go back to the players themselves through prizes. 6% is going for commission for those that are selling the tickets, the shop on the corner, whether it's your Spas or your Checkers or whatever. So that's what, and the remaining 10%, and coming back to the chairperson about the profitability of this business, the remaining 10% then goes to the operator, which must cover their operational cost and whatever, if they're lucky, remainder is then profit. So it pays then for the infrastructure, the IT systems, whatever they need to run the lottery. So that's just in terms of that remaining 66% of how it is allocated. Then, Chair, just briefly on the RPP, I just wanted to say that in terms of the Act, that the Minister of Finance was supposed to identify a fund towards which that contribution was to go. And I think, in my own view, what happened is because of the demise of the RDP, and I think originally the idea was actually to use that 5% as part of the implementation of the RDP program itself. And I think when the department was closed, I think people just they just assessed to say that there's no need and there's no structured way to decide how to utilize and channel that money. But it was actually not a conscious decision of the board just to ignore it. But I think it was because of the legislative guidance that actually pointed to it being hooked into, at that stage, the RDP department. And when that department was closed, I think everybody just felt paralyzed and so forth. But I think the point is taken about maybe what could have been done in the meantime. Lastly, Chair, just to, on the issue of the audit, thus far, the board hasn't received any qualified audits since inception. So this was just on three of those broader issues. So, Chair, if I then can run through the rest of the slides and per agreement, I will try and do it as fast as possible so that I think the questions would then be able to zoom into some of the areas rather than me spending too much time on it. Chair, the one on the regulations is all that we're trying to say through this is that unlike, you know, sometimes people think that you're sitting here and somebody come and knock on your door and ask you for X and you just have the facility to give you X. In fact, the regulations give a broad framework of how that money should be allocated in terms of, this slide is talking about in general, so there are certain things that every agency should take into account when they decide how they're going to split that money and how they're going to give it for a particular year over a couple of years, and that include issues around general, regional, economic, financial, social and moral interest based on national but also in terms of provincial context. Secondly, there's also the issue about provincial-specific interest in terms of the population size, you know, your poverty index. All those stuff actually needs to be put into the pot when you decide how you're going to split this. In fact, one of the biggest challenges that we experienced so far, in the Act actually, it says that every year, or doesn't say every year, but it says of the total allocation to a particular sector, actually at least 5% should go to a province, each province. And we have a couple of provinces that up to now haven't reached that 5%, like your Northern Capes, your Northwest, and sometimes. So I will talk later about that issue about inequitable distribution as part of the challenges. And I think, Chair, the last point is just to say that obviously there's issues around rural underprivileged and some of the questions was raised around that. Now, the regulatory framework actually give direction to say, take these things into account. So again, it comes back to the issue, to what extent is that being implemented when people are actually doing the actual allocation itself. I just took this particular part of the regulation that talks about specifically to sport, because there's some others that talks to charities and others, but July 2010, the newest regulation, for the first time actually there was a directive in the policy or in legislation to say that 50% of the allocation of sports should go towards sports and recreation facilities in rural areas for talent development, degrees, etc. In the recent media, there was a lot of this actually around the charity side when the established organizations were complaining that because there's now been a bigger spread, because as the chair indicated, our number of applications, for example, for charities increased from a previous of 4,000 or so to something like 8,500 after our last roadshows. Now, logic says and mathematics say that if your pool increased and your income remains steady, it means that the cake will have to be spread thinner. And I think that is one of the problems that we found with recent media, where, and it's again this issue about protection, because I used to get 10 million per year over 5 years, now I'm not willing to release so that somebody else, a newcomer, can also benefit from that. So that's just on this chain. So let's go and look some of the figures. So since inception, around 2000, to the last end of the last financial year, March 2011, the total revenue from the operator was 12.3 billion. Interest on that was 3.6 billion. So the total available revenue to the NSDF was 15.9 billion. To date, there has been 10.9 billion dispersed, and on administration about 2.4%, which is 336 million. Funds on hand at 31st March 2011 was 4.8 billion, and this is the other issue, Chair, that we are struggling with. So people look at it 4.8 billion, and they say you're sitting on 6 billion, for it, but they forget about that second one, line that says less amounts already committed is 3.1. So at that stage, although the balance showed 4.8, actually for distribution was only 1.7, because if you do a multi-year allocation to Tennis SA, for example, right, over 3 years, you don't pay all that whole amount at once. You may pay it in 3 or 4 or 5 tranches. Yeah. So that remaining tranches are sitting with us. And that is part of the balance. So people think that you got that amount of, you can't, because you've got a contractual obligation. You have promised that person, if you do what you have to do, this is your money. So that is just, Chair, by way of clarification. So that cash available, Chair, of 1.7 billion was available as from 1 April 2011 for up to 31st March this year. And that 1.7 billion then is split in terms of debt percentages. So charities would have then got 45% would have been 700 something million, sport would have got something like 376 million, etc. So that is basically how that percentages then play itself out in real terms, in terms of the budgetary process. Chair, that is just a graphical of the same information, basically, just to show. And you can see it coming back to one of the questions that was raised about whether the income have increased or decreased. Now, if you look at the cash disbursed is the green one, and then the operator payments to NHDF, which is actually the income side. If you look at the years 2009, 2010, and 2011, you can see that blue bars there, more or less steady. So actually, to just maybe also, Chair, use this opportunity to clarify the issue of it seems like the money has got less. What happened, Chair, is that in previous years, prior to 2009, there was a lot of rollovers from previous years because of some of the deficiencies that people have been complaining about. So what happened, you had this year's income plus the reserves that we rolled off. Now, because we have been working on the turnaround times and getting the money out quicker, we actually worked away that reserves. So what we're working on now is a year-to-year income basis. And that is why the perception is that the money has actually decreased. The actual income from sales hasn't decreased, but we have actually worked away the reserves that have cushioned us in terms of previous years. Chair, just coming then back to sport itself before we look at some figures for sport. Now, in terms of the documents, if you go to the sports DA, they would then say to you there's three things that they are looking at in the allocation of the money. It's transformation and development with the sports.
Sorry, Chair, first of all, there are many DAs. There's a sports DA too.
Chair, the distributing agency, for this purpose, yes.
But it may happen that the AAA is not a distributing agency.
So there's this, there's the issue that has been raised by previous members about the issue of development transformation. I think, Chair, in your introductory remarks, you actually spoke a lot about that element. There's the issue of increased accessibility to sports facilities, and also about capacity development, both on the administration side, etc. Because a lot of our, especially at club level, in fact, Chair, I must actually, let me just reverse that, at all levels, unfortunately, there's a lot of challenges around administration. And whether you look at the application of a school or a national federation, reporting issues and stuff like that, there's challenges right from the bottom to the top. And people don't believe it when you say that you have challenges with national federations reporting on funds that has been disbursed. That's the reality. And that is why, Chair, some of them, they get declined. Or you will see they have received money 3 years back because there's outstanding issues on progress reports, and they don't submit reports on previous grants, etc. And then you hear the issue of change of administration. I don't know what the previous one has been doing. I can't access the computer or the files and stories like that. That's the reality, Chair. And that's one of our biggest challenges that we're facing. So, Chair, just on the facilities issues, maybe, I just want to say I fully agree with the member that, I mean, if you look at the money available and the demand for facilities out there, it obviously you can't deal with that demand sufficiently through lotto funds. But I think, Chair, what is also said, actually in sport in Durban, and I think now in Sunday's paper it was raised again, the sad part is that we got municipalities that get allocations for sport infrastructure and the money is not used, or it is channeled into other directions because sport is not being perceived as a priority. So that's part of the challenges, I think, as legislators that you need to attend to and use your position to also deal with some of those issues. Chair, so our categories of people that basically receive money from the sport is SASCOC is a macro body, national federations, provincial, your district or regional municipalities, tertiary institutions, schools, clubs, NGOs, recreational organizations. So that's just a list of the different organizations that can apply. And usually what happened up to now, in the advert or in the call for applications, there would then be guidelines and criteria for each of those categories. So they would say schools can apply for the following things. National federations can apply for hosting of international events, development, international elite athletes development, etc. Chair, just in terms of the key trends, in terms of the distributing agency for sports and creation, and I think this is the point that Chairperson alluded to. So whether 22% is small or big, the fact of the matter is, Chair, up to 31st March 2011, since inception of the lotto, sports got 3.7 billion rand.
Wait,
3.7 billion, Chair. And I think the question of where it is actually alluding to the fact of saying that can we confidently stand up and say that we got value for that money? And I think that is the question. And that is why some of moving forward, Chair, we need to look at some of the strategic thrust of how we go about in allocating this money. And it also comes back to the question by the Honourable Member, are we giving at national level, provincial, or whatever? During our Indabas, there was a hefty debate. The national and the controlling bodies will argue and say, because we got the strategy and we got this iBird's view, it is important that the money be channeled to us. The guys on the ground will say, we don't see that money. It doesn't filter down. So that is again the challenge, that how do you find that balance? In terms of, and the other problem that, when I say we, I mean the distributing agencies and the board have, is you're also not sure sometimes to what extent is there duplication in terms of the allocation that's being made to the National Federation versus the Provincial Federation. Because both have a line item for development, for capacity building, for facilities, etc. What is the coordination in terms of that budget items on the provincial level, district level, versus the national level? And I think that is part of the issues around monitoring, how do we make sure that actually that money is used for the purpose. So, Chair, this is then, I just thought, let me give a sense of just the allocation per national federations as per the total pot. So, maybe this will show it better. So the blue is actually showing your National Federation's component of the total allocation. You can see 2008-09 was actually quite high. It came down 2010, 11 and 12, more or less on the same line. So that is just to say that that is the direct channeling through the National Federations. And just to give you a sense then, to make it more concrete, this slide then talked to two financial years. And the colors is just trying to show you the commonality between the same federation for that two financial years. So that is the top, I call it the top allocators or the beneficiaries. So for 2019, athletics got the biggest slice of 17.7 million. 2010-11, cycling were the highest individual one was 25.9 million. Then you can see some commonalities, SA hockey in blue, cricket SA, and then also volleyball SA for both years. If I can just move then to the third year, which is the current one. This is unaudited figures because this is our current financial year ending 31st March. Then you see rugby chair, you see football, you see triathlon, you see university or sport SA, etc. Now, Chair, luckily for me, I'm an administrator and a bureaucrat, so I can talk a little bit without worrying what people think about it. I mean, now the stakeholders out there. So, Chair, one of the things, the key things that strike me about this allocation, number one, Chair, it is quite obvious and notable to see that some of the biggest receivers of this is also one of your or amongst your biggest profile federations. And why do I say that, Chair? Because it means that amongst all the federations, they got a better chance to attract commercial sponsorship. But yet they're also getting the biggest slice from the lotto. And you ask, what is the logic in that? And the other reason why I'm mentioning that, Chair, is what is called in economics dead weight effect. Now, what that means, Chair, is the question that we need to ask ourselves. When the lotto was introduced, it was meant to put additional resources for development and facilities. But my theory is, Chair, and it hasn't been verified, it is not scientific, but my theory is, instead of adding, some of this money has been used to replace the expenditure lines of certain organizations. Let me be more concrete, Chair. 35 million for SA Rugby, three academies, right, Chair? They didn't put a cent on the table to say this is what we put in. So where is APSA's money going? Is it creating billionaires? Is the retired Victor Medfields and so forth? Or is the attitude of saying that because you as government, you want transformation, you want development, so you must pay for it? And one of the things, Chair, that I would suggest moving forward to be considered, to make sure people show some kind of commitment to some of what I call the softer issues, that they think is softer issues, transformation, development. Maybe we should start piloting with national federations and say, we are giving you money, but on a med-grant basis. You put 50 cents on the table, we give you another 50 cents. So that you can get a counter-performance. Currently, Chair, it becomes like an ATM. That's not a sector with so many special grant applications like sport, Chair. And it's being used in a blackmail fashion. You need to host under 20 soccer tournament in 3 months' time. You come to the lotto, we don't have money, national interest, tourism, and so forth. Give 20 million. We need to host wrestling in Cape Town, we don't have money. Please, 30 million. So that is, Chair, one of our problems. So where is the strategic intent in terms of this is where I want to go, and for the next 5 years, this is how I'm going to use my resources? Sorry, Chair, the benefit or the downside of this is that I was a sport administrator, so I'm very passionate about this thing, and I got a little bit of information and knowledge of the sector. And that's why some of these practices, it pains me to see, Chair. At one stage, I confronted members of that DHA. I asked them, what logic is there for you funding universities, right? And I'm specifically talking about, let's say, rugby-playing universities. Right? Takis, UJ, Stellenbosch, to pump millions into their infrastructure development. Nelson Mandela University Chair is playing against teams from KwaZulu, from Rosedale, from Northern Areas and PE. That was one field that they practiced five teams on with some candlelight floodlights chair. You go to Stellenbosch, 10 practice fields. So where's the transformation coming in your funding policy? You build to give them treadmills of something million and you say it's because they're going to give access to people from the township. Chair, you, some of you that know PE, where does university related to KwaZulu or to New Brighton? Who's going to get there to use that treadmill? So, Chair, that is some of the policy issues that needs to be addressed regarding the funding of sport, Chair. I stood a little bit on that, Chair, because I think it's very fundamental in terms of getting return for investment and to make an impact and to link your funding with your transformation agenda, with your development agenda. Chair, coming back to one of the areas we were asked to focus on is funding for Olympics and for, you know, so. Chair, 3 years, in 2010, Chair, we gave 139.7 million to SASCO. Chair, 3 year funding. 14.6 million for administration cost. Elite athlete development preparation for Olympics, Chair, 59 million. Commonwealth Games 12.2, All Africa Games 10.3, hosting of IOC Congress 15 million, 2009 World Student Games 8.7 million. Chair, from 2008, that is just specific items that talk to Olympics. There's others that is hidden, you don't see it. Currently, Chair, in addition to that 139 million, we are now finalizing a grant for 73 million, specifically towards facilitation for 2012 Olympics. And that is the breakdown, Paralympics as well as Olympic Games, Chair. And I put it down there, 30 million of that is towards operational costs for the Olympics, for the athletes themselves, Chair. And the reason why I'm highlighting that, one of our other challenges, Chair, is that if you don't know what the lotto is giving to the federations and to SASCOC, mm-hmm. you would think that their main sponsors are corporate world. We don't get acknowledgement, Chair. Our logo is as small as the other, the rest that gives 2 million rand for kit. Chair, in Sydney Olympics or Beijing, every British athlete, Chair, that was interviewed on TV, there was a standard line, without the Lotto's contribution, we wouldn't have been here. We don't get any kind of acknowledgement, Chair, because I think people think because it's a semi-state fund, we're entitled to it, they don't respect your requirements for publicity, nothing like that. And that is part of the negative publicity we get because people don't know who we're funding and who we are helping. We don't get the acknowledgement and the branding around those things. Chair, this is just a split in terms of province. I know this is always a difficult thing to do, but it needs to be done. This is just in terms of the current years, I said it's unaudited, and you can see there, and I think, Chair, part of obviously Gauteng is also about the fact that a lot of the national federations are situated there, so that in previous times we tried to actually work that out so that you can see what is national federations and what is Gauteng specific, but for now it's actually a combination. So, Chair, coming back to the issue that I'm talking about, there you can see Eastern Cape, just for this financial year, Eastern Cape, Free State, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Northwest are all under the legislative 5% minimum allocation per province. Just for this year. And that is part of our challenges. How do we make sure that this cake are also equitably distributed across provinces? The next slide, Chair, is more in terms of the different sectors. So, again, if you take that total allocation to date, you will then see that your biggest winners there is national federations on 44%, schools on 32%, and your smallest, obviously, because the provincial academies, there's not too much activity there, and then municipalities, etc. Chair, that is where I would like to pause for my section.
Through you, Chair, these are the governance. This meeting agency members,
six of them have vacated the office, only four are remaining. Well, there are legislative changes that we are trying to push so that at least what Jeff indicated, we have to overcome those other things. If members have got issues about federations at national level, provincial level and the like, and there is corrupt tendencies, they have to report to that number. We have launched a hotline number wherein if there are issues that are not in accordance with how we have funded such organizations, they have to report that, because we are told that some people, you know, come to us and they made an application for development and the buying of either a quantum, but over the weekend that quantum gets on the line to ferry people, and they you know, they are being reimbursed for such. So we need people to be cautious that this is not just a free money. This is the money that people played lotto with the understanding that one day my organization will get money and they will they're going to run a project. So as he said, we are currently finalizing the money that we need to pay it to SASCOC for the Olympics, which is, as he said, 73 million. But however, we have got a serious problem in terms of acknowledging that this money comes from the National Lottery Board of South Africa. We go to these meetings, it is sometimes we are even hardly recognized that we are the main sponsor. And you find a very big advertisement blackboard, board for somebody who contributed 200,000 when we have given more than 10 million, 30 million and the like. And even our athletes, just the sense of when they come back to come to Lotta and say thank you very much, including our own Bafana. When they were struggling to find a place to practice, they came to us, we gave them 20 million to go and practice in Brazil and whatever. But when they came back, it was business as usual. It is money that must come to us. Therefore, you are established to look after us. So what we are saying is that let's start be proud of our republic, and let's start to be proud of our own entities that are making, these men and women to be sportsmen and sport ladies. With this few words, thank you very much, Chairperson. We think that this information will suffice. But however, as he was talking, I realized that we are not talking to an ordinary another committee. We should have included a very good work that we've done during 2010. We gave local organizing committee 170 million to build 27 artificial turfs. That is, the stadia. They are in all the provinces. All the provinces. On this one, honorable, I'm quite sure we have built. What we'll do, we'll make sure that Chairperson. Even today we can find somebody who can email this project, because for example on the 17th we are ending another one in Northern Cape fully fledged. On the 27th we are ending another one in Limpopo, in Makado, all over the country. 27, I think each province were given two if not three per province. So they are there. Very world-class artificial tests that were built by Lotto. Yes.
It was not the legacy project. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, as part of the legacy project.
Okay. No, Prof. Thank you very much. Then it seems that the president of South Caucus here, seeing this car right now, we are pledging 73 million rand, we are crying for 50 million rand. And he would have an extra money to do the work. Okay, now, colleague, it is just, Professor, it's not the last time I guess we should meet. Because some of the issues that you have raised, Jeff and the professor, I think they're very critical issues. In fact, also you raise issues around development, because it's important that we do that. It's very easy for us to be drawn in minute information that doesn't take us anywhere. And I think we have put it at a high level, and therefore we are able now to know exactly what is happening around the world. Therefore, it'll be easy for us to engage with you. If, of course, we have a day and a half to engage with you, it's going to be very exciting. But, of course, there's also amateur folks in there must make their presentation here. They have never applied. Anyway, when I look here, it seems they're not giving a cent. And maybe they don't apply, but I think we'll talk for ourselves. But the point that you are raising again, that I was raising, money is not a solution for a problem. It's a level of organization and professionalism introduced to this organization that runs this federation. Unless we do that, you will pump all your billion rands. There will be no change at all. Unless there's a high level of organization in this organization, or the federation in it. So it's very strange. The federation that are well organized, the point that I'm raising, those that are well organized, they get more money. Precisely because they're able to account, they have a capacity, and then they're able then to raise money because they account for money. And they account according to a regulation. You must account on this. The poor organization that are unorganized, they can't get money. Precisely. Then it's a cage-22 situation that members of parliament themselves must resolve. Themselves must resolve. It's a bigger problem. Okay, colleagues, I think that's fine. We have to take the amateur folks in our conversation. Professor and the team, I think, won't mind again if we invite you to have engagement, particularly the issue that we are raising, Jeff. They are very clear now. At one, we must wait for the other meeting. So now, in fact, the real team has been here also. They want to give us information. The reason why I wanted to start with you, Prof, is really to have a broader view about the funding of sport in South Africa. When they present one, you are able to, because last weekend we were presented really a very dire situation. No money, there's nothing. And now there's money anyway. 73 million rand is committed already. And then, no, we discuss these issues. Those are very critical issues that we must do. And then, Jeff, I think we won't mind again if we invite you as a team to come and take us through. But on the broader development and transformation issue, the issue that we are raising of meshing fund. Because if you fund all organized organizations, they withdraw their money. They got sponsors anyway. A lot of money from sponsors because you are giving them money. They simply not use that money for sponsors. But what do they do with that money? Is a question that we must pose. Because therefore, that will assist us where to assist some organization who can't account for 200 rand. they need 1 billion rand, but they can't account for 200 rand. It's a very contradictory thing, but I think we must address it. And surely, I think we should do that. In fact, that is a point, Jeff, that you are raising that is critical. Well, there will be no transformation of sport if we don't deal with the real issue that causes this problem. I think we have to identify some of them. We don't have enough time to really deal with every issue that we have raised already. Mackenzie, 1 minute for you. 1 minute.
Chairperson, I must say that I take exception to some of the comments that Jeff made. This money that is administered by the Lotto Board comes from the public. They contribute towards taking Lotto tickets. I'm getting the distinct impression that they are doing us a favor by distributing that money to worthy causes. And I'm telling you now that Jeff went on an outburst about big federations. And he says he knows what he's talking about. Well, I also know what I'm talking about, Jeff. And I want to tell you right now. that in that allocation of 35 million for rugby, which is a big federation, 9 or 10 million is going into three academies in three small federations, provincial federations of rugby, to assist with development. That is development and transformation. The fact that that's a big federation, do you penalise someone who's trying to aggressively go out there and transform? I think that's absolutely wrong. And I think that approach is absolutely flawed. I come from KZN, and I can tell you we are trying to create five academies in sub-unions, which are in the Plattland and rural areas, to assist primarily previously disadvantaged people. Now, just because rugby is a big federation, for example, why must we always reduce someone who's trying to do well to mediocrity? And I have a problem with that. I'm with you on transformation. And I'm telling you, if I read your mission statement, I see what it says, developing in rural areas. Well, that's what these people are doing in Borat. And that's what they're doing in Esbjerg to put those academies in. They're not going into Johannesburg, not going into Durban, not going into Port Elizabeth. But we have to maintain what's working now to ensure that doesn't collapse and then build forward, going forward. You can't do one without the other. It's like roads. If you don't look after your current roads, you try and build new roads somewhere else. If you don't maintain what you've got, it'll collapse. Thank you.
I expect that from you. Because you can't, we must broach this finish in being administrators ourselves as members of parliament that are creating policy. It's just important because some of us around this day, the likelihood to be tempted to go to that level is very high.
Yeah, Chair, I'm not going to take much of your time, but I'm sure one will engage with this thing again at a later stage. But the one small issue, I don't know whether boxing is applying to Lotto. Because boxing got something like a 3 million from the department. Really, there's nothing which they can do with that. They have been taken to court, and they've been caught until, I don't know what else. Now the other thing is that smaller Yana when I come and chair, on the allocation National Federations 2011-2012, these two federations which are going to London, Banyana are not reflected. Yeah. I know you're talking about the 73 million. But there are these preparatory work which they need to do. And according to their president, they can't. Because even SAFA is not taking care of a Banyana. So I'm just worried about that. But there's a lot, as I said, but one can at a later stage for the sake of Sanabo.
Okay, that's fine. Jeff, we want to... Don't forget that the issue of Lord we can discuss for the next 15 days. And then we may also raise our tempers on some of this matter. Because we are involved in this matter and we are emotionally involved with this sport and development. Therefore, we may also ourselves become sport persons. And it's very possible that it can happen. And then address the bigger issues. What issues that will assist us to transform and develop sport in the country? A member of parliament must be seized with that. And with different policies. We accept that. That's why we got discussion policy document everywhere for everyone to make input. What is part of those things? It's important that we do that because we may be consumed by our own engagement and lose the bigger picture. I think Jeff, we're trying, Prophet, to give us a bigger picture. Because when they talk to us now, we'll know exactly what are the issues in terms of allocation. That was the main purpose of this meeting. And Jeff, 2 minutes I think would be enough for you. I recognize Mankenzie and Cora. Oh, I didn't recognize you. You just know that I got one right not to give you, but one not to give you.
Chairperson, fairness will really, you know, you're a fair person, chairperson. That is why. I don't have to persuade you.
Okay,
no, thanks, chairperson.
I'm worried about your time.
Yeah, no, it will be quick, chairperson. You know, we've excluded some. That is why I asked the question. Are you happy with these distributing agencies? Because I see when it comes to the allocation of the funds that some get and some don't get. That is why I asked that question at the beginning. If I look quickly, chairperson, golf, there's nothing for golf to. And no, there is such a lot of golf players and potential in this country. We sponsor people overseas, and it's not you, SAA. They sponsor Cabrera, and then we have our own people suffering. No, John Conte. He's a brilliant golfer, but he's not supported by us. Do you understand? So some are excluded. And then the last point, chairperson. 2 points, really. I read in the newspaper the other day that there is some problem with the security of the lotto, with the system itself. And, you know, that scared me that, you know, we are playing a game, but it seems that if the outcome is already, you know, we already know who the winner is. That is the impression that I got when I read that article. So there was a security sort of a breach when it came to the who was the winner. Then lastly, chairperson, and that is very important, I think, to me. The municipalities, they are not playing their role. You sent 8 million rand to the Eastern Cape some time ago. You sent it through the municipalities, through the Nelson Mandela Metropole. Go to New Brighton and ask them whether they received the money. It never got to the people, chairperson, because sport is not important. In fact, I think it's wrong to an allocation that was given specifically for golf, again, their chairperson. Because the people come to me and I must now explain what happened to our money. And they say no, sport is not important. So, chairperson, it's our duty really to make sure that MIG funds, as well as these other allocations, go. If they reach municipalities, they must really reach the people.
Okay. Yeah, no, Mr. Lee, we arrived. Just bearing in mind, though, that lottery comes to us for answerability letter to give us necessary information. They account to trading industry. But they agree to appear before us to give us necessary information around sport and development in our country. And we highly appreciate that. And they really highly appreciate that. And then because we should acknowledge that too. Whether they acknowledge you when you give them money is your business with them. And I hope, of course, if you give the committee money, we'll acknowledge you. But of course, it's an important point that you should not acknowledge if you are giving money, you're doing a good job. You must acknowledge that. We must also acknowledge that the demand for money is very huge. Every person is money. Wouldn't say that NGOs are not important if they're dealing with a very critical issue of HIV and other matters. Therefore, competition for resources is very high. And then wouldn't have any man that is satisfying everyone under the sun. That's why management and organizational capacity to do work is very critical. And then I think we should work on that. Professor, thank you very much for that. And surely we'll have discussion again in the next meetings. If we invite you, please come and assist us at this. Because the committee again is driven by one desire, the desire to see development and transformation of sport in our country. That's the only thing that drives this committee. That is the desire of this committee, to ensure that there's development in our country, there's transformation of our sport. Then we'll work out the details how you want to move. And then thank you very much for your presentation. Okay. And then I think it was very useful. Mr. Green, you can take the floor. Professor and Jeff, you can remain also. Don't disappear. You can sit down somewhere. Nice to listen to this meeting, a very good meeting. It's approximately 2 million. 2 minutes. Yeah, no, we wanted to check it out. Well, some of the issues are very big issues. They're very big issues. I wouldn't want you to have what we call a boxing match with members of parliament. I wouldn't want you to get it because you'll be defeated. And therefore, take it that we have raised very critical issues. These members themselves must apply their mind and deal with them.
Well, thanks very much, Chair, and the members of the committee. It has been interesting to hear your passion about sport, and I think we'll continue working with the Department of Sport and Recreation, the Minister, the District Bidding Agency, and this committee, and as and when you would want more information on us. I think the way we are created is very clear, to make sure that we assist where possible, and I think we'll remain doing that assistance in all the times, and where there's any need of information, we'll make it available for you to can talk to federations, the Department of Sport and Recreation. We are at your disposal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And of course, you can remain if you do have time. Mr. Green, we are inviting you. We are at your mercy now to take us through. And then the question of the box. Martin.
I'm 100 members of parliament, and always the fine. I'm 100.
There's only a doctor around here. There's one doctor there.
Not this way.
I'm scared of the doctor. I'm very scared of the doctor.
You must transform form. You must transform form. You must add to the man that is doing well. And they are doing well anyway. Was in someone say that, yeah? And this how the issue that we're raising and so on.
Mr. Green, I have your message, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chairperson and members of the Sports Party.
And look at your life, of course, no one is facing you now. And you can say anything, won't be recorded anyway.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Steve Masiki, the Acting President of SANABO, sends his profuse apologies for not being able to attend today's briefing. He is an attorney and has a court appearance in Soweto today. He has asked me to do the presentation, assisted by Mr. Ernest Sampson, the General Secretary of SANABO. Just for background, I am Eric Green, the Honorary Treasurer and a member of the SANABO Executive for the past 18 years. This is the third time I have had the honour to address the Portfolio Committee and have found it a humbling experience. I've been a pensioner since 2005 after 42 years service to my country as a member of the South African Navy, and I stay in Fishhook, Cape Town.
Congratulations.
There are two aspects to the presentation. I will firstly address the question that was put to me, what interventions could be made for amateur boxers to get support until they turn professional. The second one that I wish to address is the Olympic Games. SANABO's preparation for the Olympic Games, and more specifically the funding challenges we face. I will be only too happy to answer any questions from the members of the Portfolio Committee. For the first presentation, I will be making use of the presentation that was made to the Minister of Sport, the Honourable Mr. Malula, in February last year. And as background, right, the South African National Amateur Boxing Organization, if I could just briefly just show, I spoke about Mr. Masiki, and there Mr. Masiki is on the right hand side, and we've had two very important developments since the briefing to the Minister of Sport. Firstly, a tragedy, the large gentleman standing at the back with a white hair, Dr. Phil O'Neill, who had the singular honour of being nominated as a member of the IEBA five-person medical jury for both the 2004 and 2008 Olympic Games. He passed away. A tremendous loss for South African boxing. Then the gentleman in the front with the green blazer, Mr. Johan Barnard, or Buddy's Barnard as we all know him, he resigned. And that is why Mr. Masiki is the acting president until we have finished the Olympic cycle, when we will have our next election. Just some our organization is the South African National Boxing Organization, and there's a list of objectives, and I'm not going to bore you with those. What I want to point out is that we have the nine provinces. Yes. Okay. I apologize for that. It'll get better as we go along. I would just like to stop here and say those are the nine provinces, and they are very, very important in boxing. Limpopo, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, North West, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape. The provinces, we've spoken about development and transformation. The three of those provinces every year are responsible for establishing boxing clubs at schools. And they are, the guideline is to establish five boxing clubs in the province. In line, hopefully the province has six districts or five districts, but one in each district. And if they get 20 members, 20 young schoolboys and schoolgirls who are interested in boxing, then you times that by five and you have 100 new boxers in a province. And if three provinces do it a year, then you have 300 boxers in 1 year, and in 3 years' time you will almost have 1,000 new boxers. And that is a very exciting initiative. What we do is we go to the school, we give them punch bags, gloves, mitts, and a skipping rope. The basics, so that they can get on with boxing, and last but not least, the head guard for the protection. The most important rule in amateur boxing is the safety of the boxer. And that's all I would wish to say there. I just have to catch up here. Development. SANABA is responsible for the following development: beginners or novices, which are juniors, the youth or the elite. So the coaches, the officials and the managers, and we are busy with that on a constant basis. SANABA is an all-volunteer organization. No funding received for a full-time secretary, Mr. Sampson, or a development officer, or even a full-time coach. This is not good for an Olympic code where medals are expected. Volunteers, as we all know, have full-time jobs, and their priority is to put food on the table and educate their children. Mr. Barnard ran a factory, Mr. Masiki is an attorney, and the chairperson of the Women's Commission runs a daycare center. So yes, there will be the odd delay, but this cannot be helped. On to some funding, and this is the first of our problem. Sanawa has no sponsor, and not because of a lack of trying. This, we've just finished a two-day commission workshop with the seven commissions, and we will now be approaching a professional fundraiser. And if he raises 100,000 rand and he keeps 20%, at least we've got 80,000 that we didn't have. And that's the way we're going to work now. Potential sponsors believe that they get more TV and other media exposure with professional boxing. That's a fact of life. Sport and Recreation South Africa does provide limited funding on an annual basis, hardly ever on an ad hoc basis. The problem is that the funds are always received too late to spend the amount before the end of the financial year. And this is unbelievable. They give you 400,000 rand on the 31st of March. No, that's when the financial year ends. Honestly, that in 2008 we got 539,000, we got it 7 weeks before the end of the financial year. Now you try and spend 539,000 rand in terms of the PFMA with an all-volunteer organization, it's impossible. But it gets even worse. In 2009, we got it 6 days after the end of the financial year. We got it on the 6th of April. Because of that, they said, all right, you must do all your projects by the end of May. They give you 6 weeks to do all the projects. And because we didn't do it by the end of May, they took away our 460,000 rand subsidy and gave us 20,000 rand. Because we didn't spend it. But they give it to us after the financial year is finished. And I do a plea to this committee, if there's some way you can help, please, because we can't go on like this. You cannot spend money you do not have. They say, well, why don't you go ahead and do the things? I say, I've learnt a bitter lesson in 18 years. You do not spend money you do not have. Okay. Now we get to...
Could you just go back to the previous slide?
Okay. Next one. No, this way. This one.
No, I'm looking at 2011. You don't know yet.
Okay, 2011, we got it the 11th of February. 11th of February.
How much?
We got 530,000 rand on the 11th of February.
This year?
Yes, this year. And we got to spend it by the end of this month. Okay, Lotto. Lotto funding is sporadic, inevitably late. Sometimes we've got money 3 years after the project should have been presented. And unfortunately, with all due respect, administratively flawed. And this is not casting any shadow on Lotto itself. It is individual members where we have the problem. The media reported that 930 million that was allocated to the sports sector was given back to Treasury while federations are struggling to keep their head above water. So NABO spent over 600,000 rand of our own funds based on a letter from Lotto saying we would get 1.8 million. Well, we still haven't got the 1.8 million. And we paid the expenses of the Sanabo team for the last two Olympic qualifying tournaments in the previous Olympic Games. Sanabo is yet to be refunded by Lotto, and until then we don't have any more reserves. Why was there only one boxer at the 2000 Olympic Games, and you sort of asked me that question? The boxers turned professional too soon. Hickey Butler was a very good candidate for 2008. He went on to win and lose a world championship. If he just hung on and gone to the Olympic Games. Unfortunately, Boxing South Africa has in the past actively recruited medal prospects, and I think specifically of Ntunu of KwaZulu-Natal. Fortunately, the Eastern Cape professional boxing body is cooperating fully by placing a two-year moratorium before talented amateur boxers can turn professional before the Olympic Games. So there we are. SASCOC is in good standing, Sanabo is in good standing with the Olympic Committee of South Africa, and our medium and long term plans are updated with regular intervals. So, we come to our next problem, and that is Boxing South Africa.
How can it be a problem?
The International Boxing Association, IIBA, regulates the rules and regulations of amateur boxing in the world. It is clear that affiliated members to IIBA are not allowed to participate, promote, or hold any position in professional boxing. So, if you do that, your country gets suspended from amateur boxing. We can never, ever, ever contemplate threatening the participation of any of our amateur boxers in the Olympic Games by ignoring this rule. I want that to be very clear. We held nothing against amateur professional boxing, but we are there to comply with the rules of the International Amateur Boxing Association. But we can enter into a memorandum of understanding, which we did in 2008 with Boxing South Africa. Unfortunately, Boxing South Africa has not cooperated, and only two payments made for boxers turning professional since 2008. It's increased now to five, and that's one trainer. The MOU is there, and it says before a man can turn amateur can turn professional, they must have a letter from us saying yes, he can, and they must deposit 100, 200, or 300 rand in our account. Now that's what we get in return for all the time and effort we've spent on that boxer. But we weren't going to go into argument, so we did this. So although we want to cooperate with them, it is fairly evident that for I don't know what reason whatsoever, they just don't want to cooperate with us in terms of the MOU. We wish Boxing South Africa no ill. Really. Boxing is growing with leaps and bounds in South Africa. 196 countries in the world participate in Olympic style boxing. 196. We've got the potential it is for us to rise to the occasion. And that concludes the briefing that was given to the minister. And I would now like to go on to the next one, which is in 2005, I appeared in front of this committee before the first time. And I was asked to do so by Advocate Barrington McKeith, who was then our president, and he came and asked me to brief the portfolio committee and Mr. Lee. I can remember Mr. Lee was still here at that time. And what he asked me to do was to point out the uneven distribution of funds from the sports department between boxing, professional boxing, and amateur boxing. And as I pointed out, that they got an, and that is in 2005, they got an allocation of 1.7 million rand. The previous year they got an allocation of 1.4 million rand. Yet one of the cell phone companies was sponsoring professional boxing in South Africa for up to 27 million rand over a 3-year period. And so we in amateur boxing were saying, we know they've got certain statutory commitments in terms of the Boxing Act, and they've got to employ people, and they must get money to do that. But how you can give, it's now 2 million rand a year, and it would appear that whenever they are in financial trouble, and if I read the portfolio committee minutes, which I regularly do, the government bails them out. If they're in debt of 5 million rand, the government bails them out. If they're in debt of 2 million rand, the government bails them out. As I say, I've got no qualms with professional boxing, but all I'm saying is, they'll just give us about the same amount of money that they get. We've got to produce the champions. We're the person that go to the Olympic Games. So why can't we get a little bit more? Why must professional boxing get it? And when they get into trouble, which seems to happen more than once, the government bails them out. Now on to the Olympic Games. Just to go through the Olympic Games, which is very important to us. While we're on the Olympic Games, I would just like to say that our elite squad, Sonamo, has got 9 boxers, male boxers, and we've got 3 female boxers, because for the first time ever they're having women boxing at the Olympic Games. And they are at the High Performance Center in Bloemfontein, where they are religiously training, and I know this is very small and you can't read it, but that is our program, and we are here in March already, and you will see there in April, it's the Olympic qualifying tournament. Now, these... Now we come to the problem that you've asked us to address, is that of finances. And if you look at the bottom of the column, in 2011, 1.89 was budgeted. For this year, over 2 million rand is required. And now we come to a problem. Because, if I can give you some background, 4 years ago, Sonaba submitted a business plan. I've got it here, the 4-year business plan. And we said this is the sum of money we require for our boxers for the 2012 Olympic Games. And that was given to Sport and Recreation South Africa. Once the preparation for the Olympic Games started, SASPOC then took over as far as looking after the elite team is concerned, and etc. They had a meeting with us and said, you guys are not coming to the party because you're not contributing any money. And we said, yes, we have budgeted for that money, and we've made lotto submission after lotto submission. Lotto came back and said, you're still outstanding a 2004 report. And we said, no, we have submitted the report. It was accepted by the staff there, and that is why we've got the next sum of money. We don't get the money from Lotta unless you have accounted for, and quite correctly so. But it's still going on now as I speak. They are after a report that we submitted, which is in 2004, to say how the money was spent. I cannot keep books in my house for longer than 5 years. That's what the law says. You must keep things for records for 5 years. So all those records have gone. Now we're rushing around, scrambling, trying to find proof of what we already submitted in 2004. Now, SASCOC have come up and said they are not paying for the Olympic qualifying tournament in Morocco or in China for the lady team. SANABA must do it. And we originally said, yes, we would do it when we get the money from the lotto. So now we're in a chicken and egg situation, and unless something happens to break the stalemate, we will have to tell the national team, the men and the women, next week, sorry, you're not getting any money, you're not going to the Olympic Games. And then there's going to be a nuclear fallout in the media. But there's nothing more than we can do. We cannot manufacture things that we've already sent into locker. We can't do it. It's an impossibility. I can do it, yes, I can do some very creative bookkeeping. But if the auditor catches me out, I don't work like that. Okay, so it's a major problem. It's really a major problem. And that, if I can just go through the Olympic Games, the qualifying for the Olympic Games. Each continent gets a quota. Africa's quota is 49. You can qualify at two events. The first is the World Boxing Championships, and you have to be in the best eight. That was held last year, and one boxer from the continent of Africa qualified. One boxer from Africa. So now there are 48 places still up for grabs. And those places will be contested in April at the Africa Olympic Qualifier in Casablanca, Morocco. Of our nine boxers, our outgoing president, Mr. Boris Barnard, is very optimistic that at least four will qualify at that tournament. But if we don't have money, they don't go. Because at that tournament, in the 10 weight divisions, it's the best four. And in some of the weight divisions, the best five. So it's Africa. It's not Europe or America. It's only Africa. So this is the best opportunity that we have, a far better opportunity than 2008 of our boxers qualifying. Since the South African Championships, our boxers in Secunda last year, our boxers went to Cuba. It's the first time they've been there. They went there for intense week preparation. Then they participated in the All Africa Games in Mozambique. And since then they've been at the High Performance Center in training. So they are missing international competition, but other than that it's going very well with them. The ladies, it's the first time that lady boxing has taken place at the Olympic Games. So it's a big challenge for them to qualify, but we've got three ladies and they'll be going to the World Championships in China if there's money, to see if they can qualify as well. Back on the agenda. There we are. There they go. Just got it down. So, in short, Mr. Chairman, that is our briefing, and I trust. So what we have done is we've covered our sources of income, which is obviously registration and affiliation of the boxers. Then there's the annual grant from Sport and Recreation South Africa, and then there's Locker. As I pointed out, we do not have a sponsor. So what we would require, what steps can be taken to support the boxers before they turn professional? We would like to ask for adequate funding to support the boxers. What I'm saying is, if I compare what the professionals are getting, and this question says before they turn professional, we would like a more equitable share of the funding within Sport and Recreation South Africa. Then, besides the funding, increasing the amount, we would ask for prompt payment. You cannot get a sum of money after the financial year is finished and then try and conduct courses. I don't know how you expect you to do that. We are also respectfully asking for funding for a full-time administrator. That will help the boxers. There's thousands of boxers and we don't have a full-time administrator. And then lastly, we are asking for the implementation of the Memorandum of Understanding that was drawn up in 2008. So, regarding the preparation for the Olympic Games.
No, I think we have covered.
Yes. So I thank you very much for the opportunity to brief this committee. I've highlighted a few problems that we are facing when we're asking for your assistance. And I will answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, the very useful presentation to us, quite interesting for us. Well, honorable members, that's the presentation. You can engage with it. And South Africa Boxing, of course, has invited observers. They call observers participate in meeting, but they don't vote. And then professor is there at the back. He can also assist if he needs to intervene. It will allow you, Professor Fazi, if you want to assist. Okay, thank you. Honorable members, Mr. Lee, Mackenzie, Gray. Okay.
Yeah, and I suppose that the department is yet to chairperson to respond. Now, Mr. Green, where do you get the equipment from to establish these school clubs that you spoke about? You said that, yes, you have quite a number that you've established. Where do you get the equipment from, or the money to buy the equipment from? Now, you know, you sound a very frustrated person. And I can understand why you are so frustrated. Because you need money to run your affairs. And really, chairperson, if we can assist boxing. You know, because at the end of the day, if I think of Muhammad Ali, all these great boxers, they all went through the Olympics. All of them, if you know, they were the Olympic champion in this year or that year. All of them were there. They were there. And therefore, I believe, you know, I was very fond of fishing, chairperson.
Of
fishing? Fishing. And I always took a chance.
Olympic
Games. Yeah, also ending his Olympic Games. Yeah. But I always took my chance, this the radio with me, especially over weekend, Saturday night. And then I used to listen to boxing over that radio, chairperson. In other words, and I know that we had brilliant boxers in this country, chairperson. And therefore, and they all came through the amateur ranks. And therefore, I want to urge that we support amateur boxing in this country, chairperson. The department, as well as Boxing South Africa, and the Lotto professor. We must assist these people, because at the end of the day, you know, if you look at school, and I'm glad that you're involved in school boxing, establishing boxing clubs at schools too. I was the headmaster of a school, and at the time I started boxing as a school chairperson, and I'm glad that, you know, that is development, chairperson. That is, and if we develop right, we will transform right, chairperson. So we must support. Now my question to you, sir, is how many medals do you think will we get at the Olympics? Let's say there will be money, we'll give the opportunities, chairperson. How many medals can we expect? And you know, I'm really saddened that the one that is Butler, you spoke about Butler. But what is his surname? Yeah. That, you know, he turned professional just before. And how many medals can we expect from you, Chair?
I'll take from two more members. Professor will come in because we have to leave. So we have delayed due to what you wanted us to make some contributions. One of members try to be a little bit on questions from Francis. We have some answers on the Mr. McKenna.
Thanks, Chairperson. Clearly, Mr. Green, funding is a major issue here today, generally, but I agree with my colleague, Mr. Lee, that boxing has always had a fantastic tradition in this country, and we need to ensure that the legacy of the past of our boxers remains. However, I'd like to address the boxing in schools, because I think new sports plan talks to the implementation of sport in schools in a big, big way. And you've got a whole presentation here on schools. What I'd like to ask is this: how many schools actually participate in boxing? I see you talk about Model C. And how many other schools participate in boxing around the country? Because clearly, the greater the participation, the greater chance we have of producing these guys. But as you say, the challenge of leaving the amateur ranks to go to professional ranks is a huge issue. And I was interested to see that the Eastern Cape had signed a 2-year moratorium on that. And is that something you want to implement? Thank you.
Thank you, Shepherdson. I think I'm partly covered by Honorable Lee when he was saying that the department this year let them respond on the challenges that have been raised by SANABO, because this presentation was done last year in February 2011. So it seems as if there are no progress. Hence, this year they've received the money late too in February. And thirdly, Chair, the lotteries here, they're also raising challenges, Prof. SANABO is also raising challenges regarding a lottery that they've received the money 3 years after the requisition. So can you give just a word of advice to them? We know you can't resolve their challenges as we are speaking now in this house. So at least a word of advice so that they can be able to improve the situation in the institution. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sir. I'll take Professor, Chair Boxing South Africa, and Mr. Green then will come and contribute. Professor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I'm sorry because we are going back, we wanted to be with you for the rest of the presentation. But however, I think I've listened carefully. And I'm saying, as like the honourable member said, we cannot resolve the issue of funding here in this room. Mr. Krill, I think you know the address. Well, for the sake of this honourable house respecting it, I can give you my personal email to raise all those hiccups, funding hiccups, about your project. To me directly, so that I can check where are the bottlenecks, and of course I will do it in consultation with the office of the chair. I do promise that. Send your query. I know maybe my organization wants you to have all those papers that you said you can't. You can't store them, but a good organization is the one that does not burn the papers. But however, because we are at the terminal stage, wherein you need to go to the Olympics, let's try to solve the problem together. I think the gentleman will give him my email address and my number. I'll definitely get into the matter, and I'll come back to you as soon as within 24 hours.
Thank you. Mr. Green, now we're fascinated to persuade us. But I don't know how many men we're going to get. We have not qualified anyway. We are still going to qualify. And boxing South Africa, memorandum of understanding has not been implemented. What is happening?
Thank you, Chair. First and foremost, I would like to say that, you know, it's very painful that Boxing South Africa and SANABO are coming to this particular committee, you know, having all these disjunctures, because we are supposed to be coming as a unified force, you know, to talk about boxing in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with your assistance, Chair, as this committee, as well as the Department of Sports, that there is a need, a very high need, that SANABO and Bosung South Africa to come together. You know, because there's no way that we can continue saying professional boxing, amateur boxing. We can't go anywhere. Because the issue is that all these boxers, professionals and amateurs, are training on the same room, using the same facilities. Therefore, we need to have a unified vision moving forward. Where I'm going to check is that the Boxing Act clearly stipulates that Boxing South Africa has got a duty to recognize amateur boxing and to create a synergy between professional and amateur boxing. Therefore, we're not supposed to be talking about separate entities. But I don't think it's an issue for this committee now to say that, you know, we need your assistance so that we can fast track, you know, having all these structures sitting together so that we can come as a unified force like any other sport code. Because even in other sport codes, there is an amateur wing, there is a professional wing. But when they come to the committee, they come as one particular sport code. So if this is a disjuncture which will not take us anywhere in this country if we talk about boxing. I just wanted to raise that particular point, Chair.
I think the point is well made. That is a true structure. You said it's one structure, but it's not true. And therefore, this structure then will need the discussion and see how we implement the memorandum of understanding. And the question is good. So don't see the thing happening. And you don't see this thing
happening. And it worries me a lot, and I'll go to the department after you've spoken.
I would just like to answer both Mr. Lee and Mr. McKenzie's question regarding the schools. Mr. Lee asked, where does the equipment come from? SRSA, in our annual grant, give us funds to undertake these projects. And it's well funded. For instance, with the three provinces, we buy almost 100,000 rands worth of equipment. And then we divide it between the three provinces, and they in turn divide it amongst the five clubs. So it's not a, but it's a beginning, it's a start. That it's enough to start a boxing club with, and then hopefully once the interest is generated, then there might be some initiatives from the parent side or whatever. Regarding the question of school boxing, if I can go back, and I cannot talk for the for all the groupings in South Africa, when I'm talking going back in years, but there were certain provinces where schools boxing was very active. For instance, Southern Transvaal in the old days, they used to have a championships. We've never had a South African schools boxing championship. All that boxing at the school that took place at the schools has died. What happens is the schoolboys, we have a cadet championships every year, which is for under 17. Those youngsters that box there come from the schools, but the schools don't have boxing clubs. Now with this new initiative, where they say we must get, and the department recognizes 11 sports, boxing is not one of them. But they say there's nothing stopping the federations becoming active within the schools, and that is what we are doing. Because where's your boxer going to? You must start young, and then that man comes through. And what better place to start than the school? We are very grateful to SRSA for these funds, and they are very well invested and well spent. And we see a way of increasing the participation in boxing. Boxing. One of the previous speakers spoke about boxing as a very popular sport, and you've heard how people listen to it. Boxing, on the last rate in the reviews I've seen, boxing is one of the top three spectator sports in South Africa. At one stage it was second behind soccer. And I always use this when I approach potential sponsors and say, and then what happens? SABC decide not to broadcast boxing. Okay. If I've covered those two questions that you had, if to the professor, if I could say thank you very much, and I will really take the problem up with him, because I think it needs to be resolved at a higher level. There's some, you know, middle level officials or management where this thing is, as they say in Afrikaans, they are fast, you know. Okay. Then the last one I would like to say to BSA, we are not, honestly, we are at peace with Boxing South Africa. All we're saying is we've got together a lot. We signed a memorandum of understanding. We're just asking that it, and all it is a letter and to pay 300 rand into the bank account. You don't have to have any structures to do this. I would just like to read this because there is a problem. This is the IEBA membership. A national federation cannot be affiliated to or be recognized by any professional boxing organization or body or any other world, continental, international. So there the rule is. It's very clear. So we don't have a problem. We go our way and we do our thing and they do theirs. But to talk about two wings, amateur and professional, no, not in terms of this. And I will never, while I'm alive, I will never place my boxers in jeopardy for being expelled by the world body for disregarding this rule. That I'm sorry, that I don't do.
We want to close the department of coming, but then I think Boxing South Africa, and again, don't be emotionally involved.
For this opportunity. You know, Chair, I think we've got a challenge of understanding here. You know? Chair, listen, if Boxing South Africa, if you take the South African Boxing Act, if Boxing South Africa is a commission, it's not a federation. Okay? Now, it's a commission that regulates professional boxing. So it's not in the league of your SANABO. No. Now, a commission, if you go to the Commissions Act of 1947, it's a commission set up by Parliament for Boxing South Africa. It's a commission set up by Parliament to move ahead with managing the regulatory framework in terms of boxing, professional boxing in the country. Now, Shadassin, this distinction is very critical that you must understand. Tina, BSA, and SANABO, you know. That then you cannot then compare SANABO, which is an organization that has their own constitution. In terms of their presentation here, it was saying it's a voluntary organization. Mm-hmm. BSA is not a voluntary organization. It's a commission set up by a parliament of the Republic. That's the first distinction, Chair. And this, Chair, I must say, has been an ongoing misinterpretation of what BSA stands for. Now, there's a distinction between a commission and a federation, Chair. With Section 28 of the South African Boxing Act says all the licenses, boxers, managers, trainers, promoters, they must form their own associations. After forming their associations, they must form a federation, Chaberson. Now, to me, Chaberson, my interpretation from a layman's point of view, it is that federation that must have its own governing body, that must have its own CEO, that must have its own CFO, and its own governance structure, the leadership of professional boxing in the country. That is what is missing in the South African boxing landscape, Chaberson. Yes. Now, what has been happening, Chair, has been that this misinterpretation that professional BSA is a federation, I'm afraid, Chaberson, we've got to get to understanding that. Let me finalize it by saying, Chaberson, if the Act says, Section 8 of the South African Boxing Act, Boxing South Africa must assist in the establishment of a federation of associations. It says BSA must assist in the establishment of a federation. So it tells you there's an actor that is missing here, Chaberson. So this issue of comparing SANABOs and BSAs is neither here nor there. And to me, the issue of memorandum, let's talk about the memorandum that I think the presenter was talking about now. You can have a memorandum of understanding between a commission and a boxing organization. That, to me, needs to be revisited. On what basis, on what grounds? was the memorandum of 2006. These are issues, Chairperson, that we need to revisit, you know. As a commission of boxing, professional boxing is not amateur. Let me quickly rush to the issue of amateur boxing. My view, Chairperson, still remains that the amateur boxing is a feeder into professional boxing in the country. So you've got to have a single continuum within which amateur and professional boxing happen within this country. And if this current democratic government has begun to say through outcome number 12 of outcomes through the governing party of this country that sports must be a vehicle for social cohesion, sport must be a vehicle for nation building. So to me, you cannot have both amateur and professional boxing to not talking to each other. You've got to begin to say this is a national imperative. And for me to quote Aiba, quoting Aiba, what South Africa as a country through a people's parliament has said that an act governing boxing in the country, you've got to say what did the country say through parliament. It has said this is what the line of march. Now your Aiba then comes, you interpret the act in compliance with international governing authorities. So to me, I'm very clear, Chairperson, we don't need to be beating about the bush. Boxing in this country needs its own convention that's going to deal with these issues between boxing South Africa and SANABO and whomever is a stakeholder here, Chairperson. Lastly, Chairperson, you are from Boxing SA, you are from Roadshow. We started in Western Cape, KZN, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Limpopo, Free State, and so on. The issues raised, Chairperson, there by our format would take something that says you meet boxers first. This is a two-pager for this share of issues raised by boxers. You know, we had one here in the Muse, in Western Cape, you know, boxers were in one room, both professional and amateur, raising issues of facilities. Raising issues of this, raising issues. Now, we don't have, Chairperson, to cut my story short, we don't have to only talk when we're talking Olympics. Sport in this country is far broader than Olympics. It's a kind of style, Olympic style, that is being taught going to Olympics. The length and breadth of this country, rural locations and all, some of them, they don't even know about Olympics. They know that boxing is a way to get out of poverty. You see? So in Mewes, for instance, there were professional amateur boxers and all who were raising issues of facilities, issues that relate to training equipment, all those issues, and mass, Chairperson. So these are issues to me that South Africa has got to address, not in a sectarian way of only looking at Olympics. And I want to posit it to this House, Honourables, that I don't believe that all boxers in this country could ever go through Olympics. And then it's a fact of life. Not all the boxers in this country can ever go through Olympics. So we've got to take care of that as well. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Mr. Chairperson, let me just indicate initially, as a department, when we transfer funds to any of the federations, we ask them to provide a business plan, and then we sign service level agreements based on what we can offer them in terms of the allocations. You must remember, if, for example, in this financial year, we only had about 47 million for all the federations. So when we look at the business plan and decide what allocation we make to a federation, we also look at the phasing in of that funding. When do they require the funding? And we give them the money in tranches. In the case of boxing SANABO, in the 2010-11 year where they say they only got 20,000, we have to also be mindful of the fact that we are guided by the PFMA. And the PFMA states that if an entity is given funding and they cannot account for it, then you cannot transfer further funds. So in that case, in 2010-11, 400,000 rands could not be given to them. We gave them 60,000 rands for the administration costs. In the 20, in this financial year, 2011-12, 100,000 rand was given to them in November for admin costs. And the balance that was indicated that was given in February was given for projects in this time that had to be done. According to their business plan, they indicated they were going to do these projects in that time. So that funding was given to them for those projects. Mr. Chairperson, you must also remember that when we do, sometimes it does take long for money to get out to the federations, but we do give letters of commitments at the beginning of the financial year to say, for the year, this is how much we're allocating it, and then we break it down how that money will be given to them. But we are also guided by the reports that we get in terms of previous funding, the annual financial statements, the records of AGMs, etc. So all those are the important documents that we have to satisfy ourselves are in order before the transfers are made. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you, but Mr. Green, really, I close it. We wouldn't want really to have a debate between you and the structure. There are always the procedures and processes to apply, and then the point of commission and federation. I think those are points that are important, but you are involved in this. You must show that you cause this federation to appear in order for us to address the question of development of boxers in our country. And I think we should do that. We should not engage in this issue. It's just what we have to do now to move forward. Yeah. Yes, sir. Finish that one. Okay.
One medal. One, if we get boys to the boxers to the Olympic Games, one medal. I'm answering Mr. Lee's question. Thank you very much.
And we have to feel this because only one qualified in terms of the applying top stage in the region. And then you can get one if you do qualify. And also money made available. So you're saying also money. So there's no money. Instead of taking this process tomorrow, but then there's another business. There's no money already in the second plan, and if they qualify one, qualify. And the point of course the professor has made himself available for you to have a very conducive discussion. And really, we thank you for that. It's very useful. Amateur boxing is very important if you want to pursue professional boxing. Because discipline starts from there. I think it's very important. And the commission also will take care of the point that you were saying. And then in our meeting, then we were great discussion about some of it. And thank you again, Mr. Lee, for coming. We have a lot of experience, 18 years of service through the army, and then it's starting to be a very good way of working. We're not going to change overnight, but for the lifetime of the country, we are very thankful. And then we are thankful to the commission. We are very thankful of the commission that is here. It's going to assist us to address some of the issues that are raised. Department is here, we're all in here. I think we should really not waste time to make sure that the boxing takes it. Because boxing was very popular at a certain point in time. Extremely popular. Advertised, and everyone really wanted to be a boxer at a certain point in time. But it seems it has gone down the drain. I think it's because of some organizational challenge that all of us must really work on. And I know that Mr. McKenzie wanted to be an actor, but he couldn't laugh because he wanted to be an actor. And we think that we are very happy with you. And then we are very happy with you. Thank you for coming. And members, thank again for members for coming. It's more and more here on the mood that we have to work a little bit harder. As members of parliament, hopefully Mr. McKenzie, Mr. Green, and the both of us are women and vice versa, to an amateur player or seven days. What makes it easy for members to engage? You don't want members of parliament to start raising things that are already, because they want to engage you at a higher level, because they want to turn around the foreign issues in our country. The thing with Paul is they would be achieving the truth. They want to achieve social tension in our country and facilitate their big challenge. But of course, we are going to visit provinces and hopefully, as we build the provinces, wherever you are based, I think you will be happy to see it. Because of the different provinces, who would want us to meet if you are provincial, such, wherever they exist, we have discussions. Of course, we have also raised the department that wherever we go, they must send a very senior person. A very senior person in the department who will be part and parcel of the committee to overcome. In order for us not to come back and raise things, this thing must be answered as we move on. And then whatever federation that day, the commissioner is available, we'll want to see the commissioner assisting us in this process. And I think all of us will accept that there are many challenges, but I think we shall overcome. I think we shall overcome. Build stronger organizations and shift. So instead of organizations, one way, because if you have to account, and then you have 2004, you have banned everything, you wouldn't account to get money. And then we are in a dilemma. And then therefore I think we must be professional in running some of these organizations. And of course I think what I remember the raising the question of the sport, sitting at the time, and I know McCain is very committed to the league, and the members here, all of them are committed to ensure that the SABC should cover some of these national sports. Those are very important. They are very important. We should do so. But of course, you only get fans sponsors if you are well organized. If you are not well organized, you won't get sponsored. Okay? No one wants to sponsor you. Start somewhere in the bush. Because they want money, they want value for their money that they sponsor. They are not doing this thing because they are benevolent individuals. They want to make money, business. Therefore, must be well organized. If you go to them, say, no, I spent my record 20 years ago, won't get a friend. And you cry for us forever. These members are poor themselves. They can't make contributions to assist you. Therefore, I think we must organize ourselves, work out on this matter, have a direct link with the colleagues there in the commission for all of us to work together there. And again, what we were saying earlier on, and Mr. Mills, and Mr. McKenzie, and Mr. Chris, is that all of us here, we are driven by one desire. Is the desire to see sports developing. No other issue. All other issues are quite short. But really, we are driven by this desire to see this. Therefore, assist us to do that. Thank you very much, Mr. Chris. The commission also, thank you very much for coming. As invited here, department, I think you are always with us where you are coming from. One announcement that is there. That members of parliament are invited, I think Honorable McKenzie and you also participate in this one. On Wednesday, there's 2.5 kilometers to walk. Just to walk, so therefore come to your senses. And then start at 12 days into one day, it's an hour walk. 2.5 kilometers, I think we can make it. And then that is on Wednesday. Then all our members, I think we have really exhausted the agenda. And then thank you very much for coming, your attention. And I think it will be a better for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.